How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we're talking about resolutions. We'll be talking about why the new year is intense and sucks a lot of the time, as well as whether or not resolutions work and what you can do from a psychological perspective to make them more effectively.
Hey, all acquaintance be forgot.
We got some clinkety clankety drinks today.
Yeah, we're not doing Jai January. That wasn't on the New Year's resolution.
Was
that's for
not
sure.
Not a resolution.
There's tequila in,
fact,
in my
it's
drink.
The opposite. We've actually invented a little game where neither of us have any sort of like mixology experience. And we were like one night just realized we should just experiment and like play around with drinks. So we've started to like make little fun drinks.
And some
that
of them are
disgusting.
Nasty. Like some of them, it's like, oh, wow. Like, whenever someone's a bartender and they give me a drink, I'm like, oh,
Greg did
cool.
Air quotes, so oh, shots fired.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you mixed, like, two sugary drinks and now, like, I'm tipping you. Like, was that really that hard? Now I'm like, wow, you are super skilled. I'm sorry I ever doubted you.
Yeah.
And like, we love you, actually,
they're the
bartenders.
Chefs of the bar.
Bartender. Yeah, new year. Still locked down. We'll talk more about that later. But, yeah, I would say don't have resolutions this year where I always have them.
I have some light ones, but I'll save them for that part of the pod. Like, what else is going on in life? I guess that is what's going on in life.
Well, me and Mitch, we have like this like new sort of workspace. So we spend the week apart. So now I'm seeing you with like new glasses
eyes.
On. I'm like, it's my boyfriend that I'm seeing for the first time in a freaking week. Like, hey, girl.
Yeah, it's a nice little like live workspace. So I did stay there during the week. And
but I've never lived alone. I'm so lonely.
Yeah, I've never lived alone either. Isn't that sad? It's not sad, but I am kind of like, it's nice to have that experience.
Roommates.
I've always had roommates, always had family.
Family.
Even for me, like most of my life before the age of 20, I had a literal bedroom mate, which was a brother. And then in university, I had like
yeah,
I
Nigel.
Had a roommate.
Shout out Nigel.
Oh my God. Where did Nigel go? My
wow.
roommate was my close friend in first year university. And then like, haven't seen him in 10 years.
University,
15 years.
University roommates, RIP that concept to all of you going through COVID in university. Honestly, drop out. Like, just like.
Don't say, oh,
okay,
COVID university.
No, but I'm sorry. Like, I know that I'm like. Science dat drop out of university right now.
Oh,
you should not be paying full price. It is unfair. enroll again when this is all, you know, cleared up. I don't know what I'm talking about, but it bothers me that universities aren't giving a discount.
I just realized in less than a month, our 15-year anniversary is coming up.
Wow.
I only just realized because I was like, how long ago did I know Nigel? Oh my God, imagine he listens to this and we're just like talking about him. That's so weird.
Hey, Nigel. Always had a real buff body before that was even in.
I know.
Because like buff bodies are in, but at the time I remember I was a skinny little American apparel twink.
Although
But
I did see a tweet that it was like Timothée Chalamet and Pete Davidson are like the hottest guys in Hollywood, and it's true. Like, why are you trying to get buff?
No, I always think that. I'm like, you have to look like a weird, like sick author. That's what like girls
that's
actually
what they want now.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like we don't. Honestly,
not,
when I
like,
see,
I think Timothée Chalamet is so cute. Pete Davidson's not my.
No,
type.
He is not.
And but also, maybe it's like the energy. Like, it's yeah, too, it's like, too like angry masculine. Whereas Timothée Chalamet, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, he's like nice.
And everyone's like, I like a funny guy. I'm like, would be cool if Pete Davidson was funny. But
no.
He's actually not. He plays himself on SNL and like goes on Weekend Update. Like he's to me and his stand-up, in my opinion, is not my cup of tea. It's okay. Sniper.
She's British
vibes.
All of a sudden. Thought you drank coffee.
Well, hopefully, I'm sorry, everyone out there. Like, you don't.
He could be listening
off.
Too.
There's lots of Pete Davidson fans, but I'm also like, Machine Gun Kelly, Pete Davidson, this whole thing, it's embarrassing. Sorry, people.
I don't know what that is.
Imagine you just thought I was talking about machine guns.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Machine Gun Kelly. Take a gear thing and fuck it all up in one night.
Is he in that band?
He's like, Machine Gun Kelly is Avril Lavigne now. But okay. Because of misogyny, he doesn't get made fun of and people just like love him. And he's dating Megan Fox. He's super famous. He makes really cringy, way worse music than Avril Lavigne, but it sounds the same and everyone loves it. And he has like a pink guitar and he's like, and like kids are like, oh my God, rock.
Cool. I guess I'll have to educate myself. Speaking of Avril, have you seen like the viral clips going around about what like that song she wrote for Kelly Clarkson?
Yes. I
Isn't
love
that so
it.
Interesting? And Breakaway?
Had a new song come out today. I also really like it.
Today?
Yeah. Because she's back. Because you know what's back? Alt grunge music. Me calling Avril grunge.
Alt grunge. Just like, was she alt? I guess she was like.
I think she was alt.
Okay. I guess it's like, here's another promo for your other podcast. But like, you probably had like. To me, it was like performative alt. But maybe she actually was alt.
That was misogyny in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Because know what's alt? Like, if you're in this skateboard scene, just being a goddamn woman. You know what I mean?
I'm you
like,
know what's even more alt? Phoebe Dobson. Okay?
Yes, exactly.
Trump's
Thank you.
Avril.
Phoebe
Although
Dobson.
Avril songs are actually.
And we don't
want to so
pit
good.
Women against each
oh,
other.
Oh, that's
here.
True. You're right. You're right.
But you are on side note right now because people are like, literally, people listening around the world are like, who's Phoebe Dobson? Because she's Canadian icon. We do that every recent episode on Phoebe Dobson. Can I speak to the manager? Go subscribe. And that's the plug. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get on to what we learned this week.
Okay.
What did we learn this week?
Everyone's like, explain more about Phoebe Dobson, because that's what I'm learning this week.
If you don't know, yeah, she was just like a like kind of pop punk grunge singer
yeah.
in Canada.
And also due to misogyny and racism, I don't think got her dues because people were like, what? Like, black girls can't do rock?
Yeah, and she like, said she always got compared to Avril just because she was
They
like
came out of the exact same time.
Yeah, but I actually think she was a little more grungy than
She was
Avril.
More,
Like, it was
yeah.
a different genre.
The music was more like hate girls, to say like, it, Nirvana. And like, now you're dragging me through the mic because everyone loves Nirvana. But honestly, okay, here's the song. Take me away. Take me far away from here. I will run.
That's definitely not her most popular song, is it?
Oh,
like I know
I
that
love.
One, but I'm just trying to think of.
I'm just helping people, like you know, who might be like, oh, that song.
What are her other songs?
Like la da la da 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 da. Sometimes I fail at the madness. Sometimes I don't.
No, this is the famous one. Bye, bye, boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of them.
Bye,
oh,
bye.
Stuttering? How does that go?
Yeah, I'm stuttering. That's when she got more pop.
Every non-Canadian, sorry, but every Canadian is celebrating right now.
We are celebrating
Canadian heritage.
True icon. Okay, what did we learn this week?
Oh my God, is yours related to that at all?
Mine's about turkey vultures.
Okay, I'll go first. Mine is related to, obviously there's been a lot of news, tone shift, about...
Obviously, hey guys, hot take, there's been news.
The last 2 years, a lot of news. Okay, like COVID and students and mental health, a lot has come out about like
okay, students' mental health or young people's mental health extremely impacted by, in a negative way, by the pandemic. But a new study came out that found like some positive measurables on an upside of COVID for young people.
Okay.
And that is, I actually made a video about this, but school start times have like an extreme impact on, I think we did a podcast on this too, on young people's sleep patterns, because teens naturally have a much later circadian rhythm. So they're actually really sleep deprived, and schools that start later see like improved grades, behavioral issues go down, substance abuse goes down. And so this study found that teens in particular, but all people not going to school, are having like way more sleep than they have for a long time. So on average, they're sleeping 75 minutes more because of they don't have to commute or like get the bus or drive to school or anything like that. So they can sleep in and just wake up and then just hop on school.
That is so true.
Yeah. And so obviously mental health has suffered, but they said like alcohol and caffeine consumption has gone down in teens.
Yeah.
And in general, they could measure like the groups that the cohorts that they were comparing, like this has had a positive impact on the students.
That is so interesting. No, it's so fun when you realize that like teenagers aren't just like from Euphoria. Like, I mean, like that show's insane. Yeah. Like I always think that's what teenagers are. I'm like, no, they're actually sleeping a lot more. They're definitely drinking less. Like the concept of me in university versus someone now in university, like that's a very formative time for your brain development. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely obliterating it with alcohol because of the social aspect that you can't do right now.
Yeah.
Like I was going to the
like,
bar,
the being around people gave you like was,
it was like the routine of like start on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, going to bars where you binge drink. Like
we
now
were so different.
You would even have like a more contained party that would maybe lead to like less going to a bar and spending so much money getting wasted. Maybe I'm making this up, but it feels like it makes sense.
And just being tired was ultimately what this, I think like when you are sleep deprived, you make different kinds of choices and have different attitudes, and alcohol might be an easier thing to turn to when you're not like when you're not as restful.
Like Gen Z's gonna look snatched.
Speaking of, what's the show called again?
Euphoria.
Thank you. I was gonna say Nirvana. similar thing. Euphoria. Every time I watch it, I'm just like, this can't be real, right? Like, or am I just like, nerd alert? I'm such a nerd. I'm like, no. This definitely didn't happen at my school.
Gen Z, reach out. Is Euphoria real? Like, you'll actually know. But all I can say is this is an adult's depiction. Like, there's no way. Well, people already make fun of it. Like,
it's so intense.
The trend on TikTok where it's like, walk in with your Euphoria high school outfit, and it's like people walk in normally and they come out and it'll be like a guy coming in with like the teeniest little black dress with like the whole side cut and like heels. It's like, oh yeah, no one dresses like that at school, but they actually dress like they're clubbing and they're 23 and it's like Saturday and it's New Year's. They dress like it's New Year's every day. Anyways, it's not, I think, accurate
at all. Freaks me out.
It's just an anxiety-inducing show that is, like, weird.
Honestly, like, I really enjoyed the first season and enjoyed the first episode of the new season, but seeing, like, not that there's backlash, but I feel like more now than ever there's been a big conversation around this show. It kind of was a point of relief for me because I feel like the show is so intense that to hear people being like, this is so unrealistic, and also glorifying abuse towards
women. It is. I think I couldn't help but in the first episode think it was glorifying abuse towards women.
Yeah.
And glorifying.
And then hearing that said, and it kind of like, not that that doesn't happen to women, but it was just like, okay, yeah, this is like a fiction. Okay. This is just a fun show to watch.
Made by
like
Game of Thrones. And know what else is a little suspect? Like his
name. Why did
like,
I choose Game of Thrones?
Yeah. Well, because you always choose Game of Thrones.
No, it's that like, show fucking sucked.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm glad I tapped out after the Red Wedding. I was like, nope, don't trust anyone. Sam Levinson is like the director and the writer and the editor or whatever. And there's something suspect that the second it ends, it's like he chooses, it's like director Sam Levinson, writer Sam Levinson, editor Sam Levinson. It's like he does all four. I'm like, okay, flat, like you obviously work with other people, like a little bit like, and I'm like, well, this is Sam Levinson's interpretation of high school. Do I really trust this like 40-year-old man? You
know what
I
mean? Like, yeah, no, that's fair.
If it was written by like, I don't know,
a teen,
Zendaya, and she went to high school.
Yeah, that's the other one I feel bad about. I feel like people are like kind of dragging her a little bit. And I'm like, she didn't write it. Like, she's an actor.
Yeah, no, I didn't know people were dragging her.
I think like, because she put up posts that were like, just like trigger warnings for this season, like it deals with really intense stuff. And so I think people naturally comment.
She can't
control.
She's just there to act.
She's an actor.
And I really do just enjoy the music and the way the camera moves and the like
it's
way
cool.
that it's shot. But substance wise, it is like, what the hell? hell are you trying to say?
Mm-hmm. That's so intense and scary. Okay, speaking of side note, what did you learn this
week? Yeah. So speaking of euphoria, ever heard of a turkey vulture? Also known colloquially as a buzzard. If you're in North America, the ones that we see.
Okay.
So
is that what Brody said one time?
Oh, like, yeah, our friend, we were like, country, you're like, crazy. There's a buzzard, and we're like, that's a turkey vulture.
This is pre-Greg being a birder.
And then we Googled it, and yeah, it was one of the first things I learned about these gorgeous dinosaurs.
Now, when you're like, this is a test if our friends listen to our podcast, because if...
No, they don't.
I know they don't.
Yeah, no. Like, everyone listening, like, you're, like, better to us than our friends.
No, some of them do. No, okay. Some of my friends message me.
No, and I don't expect them to, and I wouldn't expect, like, my friend has a podcast, I would not be like, you know what I mean?
Okay, here's the test. If you're our actual friend, like, you know us in real life, message me when you hear this.
Okay.
Shout you out next week.
Yeah. Friends listening, reach out, or else, you know,
this is a test.
We're going to be cutting ties. So I remember seeing turkey vultures this past summer, even while I was birding, looking for the warblers. Okay. It was spring, and completely almost like throwing them aside, like, oh, turkey vultures, that doesn't even count as cool.
Really?
We saw them on the side of the road when we were driving.
Oh, I know. I'm saying you don't think it's cool?
No, so
they're like dinosaurs.
No, I'm sorry. Like, this is, I'm trying to like today explain to you what I learned,
for
to be like, they're
a
so
warbler.
Cool. Well, okay, I guess it's like when you start No, it's honestly like a weird birding thing where it's like,
because there's like only one
turkey
kind.
Vultures are like big. They travel in packs. Right. Like, you actually see them. Like, I'd seen a buzzard before I'd been birding.
Yes.
So then you start to learn about these like warblers that are like literally like pink and blue, and they come
and
up
tiny
from like
birds
Costa
that you might not see or yeah. noticed.
But the but yeah. also the turkey buzzards are also migrating from south, so it's also when you see them in spring, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, they just got there, you know what I mean? Anyways, yeah. I'm never gonna look past one of these gorgeous birds that we're getting, because they're so freaking cool. And what I learned is that scientists are like really studying their stomachs, because they eat carcasses, which is like, oh yeah, that's freaking rad. Like, of course, when I see a turkey vulture, I should be like, that's freaking cool. Mm-hmm. Like, from high above, there's a lot of controversial thing. Do they smell the carcass, or do they see it?
How do they know?
See, in the past, they only thought they had to see them, but then they realized the tests were flawed, and now they're like, no, they do have olfactory things that work with sight.
They got to.
Yeah,
it seems wild. It's like, even sharks have that.
Yeah, there was, in the past, they were like cover carcasses and then leave carcasses out and notice that they wouldn't go to the covered. But then they found out they were too close, that they were like, yeah, they're just choosing
like
the open.
They fully covered and hid the smell as well.
Yeah, no, they just were like, we're more into that. But the smell isn't strong. The smell helps them. And the eyes are the most important part.
Okay.
But they're eating these, you know, decaying animals. And for us, the reason we think that's gross is because that means disease. So there's like so many toxins that they can have in them, including anthrax. But they can eat botulism toxin, anthrax, like hantaviruses, these crazy things that would kill us. And then their poo is sterile.
Unless they're injected in your face, botulism toxin.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. As long as you put it in your skin, it's
no,
good.
Like, you could still die.
It's a different type of botulism. Like Botox.
Different dose.
Literally different dose. And literally just go listen to our episode about Botox, because you'll learn a lot more there. But... yeah, their poo that they poo out after eating potentially anthrax is sterile. Whoa. And then it drips down their legs. They poo down their legs, not like plop, plop, I'm a bunny. Yeah, and it's because they're actually walking in the carcasses where the germs are. So their sterile leaking poo down their leg helps to combat the germs of any cuts that happen on their leg.
On their feet?
Yeah, they have like such sterile poo from eating. And it's like, what's going on in that stomach? We eat anthrax, we die.
Yeah.
So cool. Anyways,
very cool.
Now when I see one this spring, I'm not going to look past. I'm going to be like, that's where my binocs are going. And that is a gorgeous, really intense looking dinosaur.
Speaking of poo, this will be short. Like, when we didn't have toilets and toilet paper, I don't know if this is the dumbest question I've ever asked. It's like,
did we not poo?
No. I'm kidding. Did humans just like, do we need to wipe our butts? I know we are now, and I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying, like,
there's well, was there a time when leaves, just, like, bark,
like, but even. Like, do like monkeys or apes wipe their butts, or it's just because they have so much fiber that they actually don't need to?
That's very interesting. Like, processed food, starting the process early through manufacturing food, is definitely like maybe made our shits so much softer. But like, we can't look at monkeys, because it's just like, sorry, they're like too far evolved past our common ancestor.
Oh, no, but it's
point.
Interesting that a thing that kind of anatomically resembles a human, very different. And
I more mean like
has like a little bum the same way we do and poops.
Yeah, but I think we should look at like archaeology and be like, is there ever like a dead person? Like, are the bones hunched in a way that clearly he died shitting and he's holding a leaf or something? Like, is there a way to be like, oh, they wiped their butt because like there were germs and you don't want to eat that,
like rinse it in the lake?
Yeah, I think so. I think they would have been bathing, but it would have been obviously not toilet paper.
But I just picture like people in the medieval time being so dirty in every absolute way.
That's when they had gardilus and they'd throw it out the window. It's like, that's obviously not what hunter-gatherers were doing. Like, they weren't taking their gardilu poo and then being like, gardiloo, and throwing it on the peasants. Okay. They were like just shitting in a stream or something.
On that note, I think we should move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a little break and then we're coming back for some resolutions.
I love how like a sponsor's on this content. Like, it's like,
but it's going to be great. It is great already. Yeah, no, that's what this podcast is all about.
Our sponsors are open-minded. May you go to the bathroom out of your anus hole.
We got to find a sponsor like that, like the Loo Poo, whatever.
Oh,
what
yeah,
it
that's
called?
So true. They're like, silly litty potty lotty.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This ad is brought to you by BetterHelp. Here at Side Note, you know we're obsessed with therapy, and that's what BetterHelp is all about. Is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? Can't pinpoint exactly what interferes with your happiness? Try BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, which means no more uncomfortable waiting rooms. It's so convenient, you can start communicating with a licensed therapist in less than 48 hours. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, and what's even better is BetterHelp is available worldwide. If you want to start living a happier life today, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/sidenote. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sidenote for 10% of your first month. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Get Abstract. Here at Sidenote, we need as much help as we can staying on the right track when it comes to business, and that's why we love Get Abstract. Get Abstract finds, rates, and summarizes the top business books, articles, and video talks into 10-minute abstracts to help people make better decisions in business and in their private lives. They have over 22,000 plus text and audio summaries in areas such as leadership, finance, innovation, health, science, and more. You can try out books before you buy them so you know if it's a right fit for you and your goals. Revisit classic tales or discover hidden gems. Knowledge is power, and Get Abstract is here to help. Get a free month of Get Abstract by visiting getab.li/sidenote. That's getab.li/sidenote.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
It's so hard to live with someone who's good at singing because I try and then you just come in with like the most gorgeous note and I'm like, well, now I feel like a
no, I just did the wrong note.
Troll.
I was trying to find a
I just did the wrong
dissonant harmony and I actually...
Wow, that was me trying so hard by imitating
you. That was actually really beautiful.
Thank you. As I drink my drink. Okay, New Year's. God damn it, I hate it so much.
Hate the whole year or just like
I hate years. Life, hon.
Hate
all years. A big bore. No, New Year's Eve, I have serious anxiety and like trauma around like constant thing I bring up in therapy. Like me and Mitch go to couples therapists and it's like 3 months before I'm like, so New Year's is coming. So maybe we want to talk about how I'm going to cope with that. Okay.
It's actually a thing. Yeah. He's not exaggerating. I have to mentally prepare for Greg around New Year's because I think you put a lot of pressure
it's
or you
so
have
much pressure
in the past had a lot of pressure.
I think I care so much about life and time. And for some reason, like Christmas, I'm like, well, I don't even like know what Jesus' story is. Like, I don't even get what this is all about. Easter, I'm like, oh, you eat pancakes and there's palms. They're like, no, he died. I'm like, he died. Why are we celebrating?
Clear, like, no, I'm not like building up Christmas because I'm like, and it's Jesus' birthday.
I just mean like for me, like the most intense holiday is literally, that's what I'm trying to say. Like I have it's the most intense holiday to me and it means the most.
I think you also have a lot of friends and a lot of connections. And so sometimes like the party aspect of New Year's can feel like it's hard to juggle all these different groups who don't necessarily know each other. Some live in different cities. Some live in different like bubbles for you.
But that's because I'm panicking because I'm putting so much pressure on it. It's like, you don't want to be with all your friends. But if I'm like, if I'm not, then that means that this year is going to fail.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Like I'm crazy about it. Anyway, so if anyone's asking,
and I say that with love because I'm crazy.
I love the last 2 New Year's because it's like, so part of my research is about expectation. So it's like 83% of people in a really large study felt let down by New Year's. 83%. They did it after one specific year. They just like asked a bunch of people and there was like, they just had to like answer questions. And I was like, one of them was right. Were you let down? And they chose that over others, but that's still like a lot.
It's a lot
for like what is supposed to be a celebration. So I just want to be like, I'm not crazy. There is something going on here. And part of it, because he was trying too hard, which is just also another funny study when they made people listen to music and told them to be happy. At the end, they reported as being less happy than the people who they were just like, listen to this music. And they just got to like enjoy it. It's like
when you think you're supposed to enjoy something, it's harder to enjoy it.
Exactly. And the expectation and the trying too hard.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. And there's optimism bias, which is that we assume things are going to be better than they are. It's like newlywed couples are all like, we're not going to get divorced, but they all know that like half of them are. So it's like, but they don't actually, you don't ever think you're the one that's going to get divorced. So you don't ever think you're like, oh, I'm getting ready for my awful New Year's. And so you're thinking it's so good. So like whenever like a little thing, like someone drops a wine glass, I'm like, oh, it's all going down. I mean, like, well, this is your turn. Like, it's just like,
the stakes are higher than high. And
you're like, it has to be so fun. Like Black Eyed Peas, I got a feeling, better be playing at midnight while I kiss the hottest person.
Me?
You. No, that's another one. I was my friend Shanaz. It was like because I had so much pressure about New Year's when I was even like in grade like 11. It was my first New Year's away from my family. I like grabbed her. I was like, we're kissing every New Year's from now on. And I like made out with her on New Year's. And then every New Year's, it was really cute. She'd like, we'd always be together. And she'd be like, we kiss. And I remember it was like 5 years ago. I think you were even like, could it be me? But I was like, no, me and Shanaz have our thing.
I'm just like alone in the corner.
And she chose year. James
my
Haley.
My tradition is,
yell
a name like that. Bleep that out. Oh,
sorry, bleep that out. She chose, she chose her boyfriend. And at midnight, I looked at her and was like, who chose him? And it like ruined my ears. Sorry, continue. It is you now.
What do you mean continue? You've just been on a...
Wow. I think I'm like gripping my like literal wine glass.
I'm
like,
tension.
You've got my point across. I'm so scared of New Year's.
So on top of that, though, I want to like, okay, the New Year has come. Is there this element for you? Because we want to talk about resolutions. Do you make them? Have you made them? And do you think that's at all a pressure for you? Like going into a New Year's got to start, right? Or is Or is New Year's Eve really the end of the year to you?
Oh God, New Year's Eve is the freaking end. And the next morning is the beginning. And I'm making resolutions all week. Freaking out about that.
Really?
Yeah. But not this year, weirdly. But the last five, I have a doc here. They're all in there. And oh, actually...
Are you pointing at your iPad?
Yeah, I'm just
like it's on the internet.
I do. Do you not? You do too. You make resolutions.
I did last year. I don't know if I wrote them down. Like I just like think of them in my head, but I don't usually write them down. But there maybe have been a couple of years when I was like, I should make a resolutions folder.
See, that's also why I'm just crazy. I'm like, I assume everyone does. And I'm like, you did it with me. And it's like, no, you didn't. I'm just like so crazy about this. Yeah, I have them saved in a doc.
So here's a little fact.
Look, 2018, 2019, 2020.
Oh, wow. No, I think that's cool though. Actually, my dad taught me that and said it was like one of the most effective things he would do is every year he would just like make a list. And I don't know if it had to be big resolutions, but for some reason I haven't gotten like done that yet. Cause here's what happens to me. I think this is called anxiety. Oh my God, this is so stupid. I have like a nice folder, or what do you call, like a moleskin or whatever. But it's not moleskin, because it's like, is that from an animal?
Oh, God, I hope moleskins aren't made of moleskin.
Like, that's what I thought. Maybe not, but I was like, mine's that just damn like for a an nice episode. Mine's cardboard. Anyway, like, I sometimes, like, want my different, what do you call those? Notepads. To be four different things, and, like, this is, like, the issue with being, like, wanting it to be perfect, and I want to, like, lay them out, and I don't want to write too many of the things. Like, I have a hard time with, like, if certain notebooks get messy, like, in my resolutions notebook, I don't want to write my to-do list, because it's, like, I want a notebook that's just, like, simplified to go through and beautiful and nice, but then this expectation gets too high, and then I kind of forget it, and the whole year, I have a notebook literally I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, the pink one I gave it to you for Christmas.
No, not that one. The one underneath it, because it was engraved with my name. Shinola. Yeah, and so I was like, this has to be a really special notepad. I can't just put to-do lists.
Any old thought in here.
No, I do to-do lists in, like, a crappy notepad, because I'm like...
That is so funny, because, like, to-do doesn't matter enough.
Because it's just, like, crap. It's like, might as well just whatever. Say, oh, like, my God, go on a walk.
You need to psychologically place more value on those to-dos. Like, that's
well,
so funny.
So then I have this, like, grand idea that I'll have one place where all of my resolutions can go, because my dad had this. That's what inspired me. He has like a binder, which is probably smarter because you can take things in and out of a binder. Oh, my God, I've never realized that. That's when my dad uses binders, because they're modular. So I never want to write in that one, because I want it to, like, be pristine and just, like, nice things. And I have a lot of notebooks like this where I'm like, this is my to-do one, this is my work one, this is my therapy one. And then I just never use them because I get confused.
This is what I do to mix my to-do one to my resolution one. The first page of your to-do list book for the year, which for me has, like, actually dates in it, the first title page you open is your 10 resolutions written out.
For every year? You get a new one?
Every year I have a notebook that...
But what if you don't finish the notebook? See, then I'm like, I don't want to waste...
No, you need it. That one that you have, it's a calendar notebook. So your to-do list goes on the day because you're going through a calendar.
Okay, well, you got into, like, what is this called? A journaling? What is it called?
It's truly just a journal.
No,
a calendar.
It's become a really big trend on the internet.
Bullet journaling? That's not bullet journaling. No, it's just a thing.
It's structured so you don't have to bullet journal. Those are kind of like mixtures of calendars, and then it's like your to-do list, and then like at the beginning of every month, you make your goals for the month. Like that's kind of bullet journaling without you having to do it on your own.
Okay, well, then I have a like pre-made bullet journal, and I love
it. Same problem. It gave me too much anxiety because I was like, I got to do the bullet journal, right? And it's like, I missed a week, and now it's just like an empty week in this folder.
Just keep going.
Yeah, then I'm like, that's psychotic.
I'm like, okay. Well,
let's talk about some science, because I'm crazy right now.
It is interesting. It's all based on how people store their resolutions, which is important. And I just want to say, in my 2018 resolution thing stored on my phone, one of them says, have a podcast.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, so there you go. That one worked.
Okay. Wow, that's full circle moment.
Okay, so
I was just going to say a little stat. So it says 50% of Americans make resolutions. Hundreds of millions.
That's a lot.
And some of the common ones are obviously to eat better, exercise more, get organized, spend less money. Some people do like dry January. But a lot of research does suggest that resolutions don't stick. So it's not necessarily that they don't work, but it's like obviously for a lot of people make them at the beginning of the year. By the end of the year, you're like, goodbye. That's gone. I haven't thought of that in like 7 months or something like that. Which I think happens to me a lot. I've made resolutions and then I panic at the end of the year because I'm like, oh my God, that's so much anxiety that I like did that list that I did. It's like a to-do list that you realize last minute that you haven't done.
Well, okay, this is...
And there's no time to do it.
Well, we're getting more into like helping people do their resolutions. Like,
oh my God, is that like an... That's a movie. It's a James Bond movie. No Time to Do.
No Time to Do.
Is that stupid?
No, it's a James Bond movie, No Time to Do. I've got no time to do!
And it's just about an unfinished to-do list.
It's just you walking around freaking out, throwing moleskins all over the room. Like, it's important to make resolutions that are easy to execute. Like, in doing the sort of... Okay, first of all, it's hard to do really hard science about New Year's resolutions and stuff because it's all very linked to psychology and social science that when you read the study, sometimes you're like, okay, this is like a stretch. But it's like one thing that they have hinted at is that you need to really figure out how to make whatever the thing that you're trying to do, which is likely something you're making a resolution for because you don't want to, fun. And part, and like, you have to like figure out how to mix it with like,
only you're like kind of stealing all my stuff.
Oh, really?
No,
no. Well, let me just explain. You can explain it
I'm
better.
I'm panicking because I'm like, I'm not going to have anything to say.
No, no. I'm like, that's, I've always found that interesting. Like that habit, Atomic Habits, like super popular book. Again, it's not quite science, but a lot, he used a lot of research to say,
right,
you have to mix things. And like, it works for me. Like I want to paint more, which is a very rare, like jargony resolution. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can do it is using a specific tactic about habits, which is that I can only listen to the fun podcast I want to while painting.
Right.
And I really love painting. And then all of a sudden the podcast is off. I'm listening to music and I'm painting.
Right.
But to get myself to do it, I have to have like control where I can't listen to my enjoyable podcasts unless I'm painting.
Because I think in the book he calls it habit stacking.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Habit stacking. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like
yeah,
finding, yeah, a thing to do so that. Yeah, I started doing like watching shows at the gym. Like I'm not allowed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I always break this rule, but there are times when I'm like, okay, I will only go on a treadmill or a elliptical. I can't watch like Drag Race or something until I'm like there. So I save it. And then it's, yeah, then you get in that, you create like a strong habit of enjoying that other activity that you hopefully can do it on its own eventually.
And it's also easier to feel good about resolutions if they're things that you can accomplish and start to accomplish and feel good about yourself and make you want to do more. Like the word resolution is interesting to me because it means resolve, which means like, what is the thing you're doing that is bad that you want to fix? Whereas my resolutions are never about that. They're always like start a podcast. So it's like, you can actually do that,
right,
and it can be done. Whereas like, I think it is a lot harder for me if it was like, I don't know, like stop like smoking weed. Like that's a resolution, right? You're resolving something more. I would not be, I just would be like, I'd give up on that for a month.
I've never like, I'm or kind like, of stop like tripping drinking. Out over being like resolve.
Resolve, oh right? God. Like don't you think it's more linked to
you? I know, but then I was like, well, what does resolve mean?
Yeah, literally probably that. That's interesting.
Right? Is that like what I resolve? Like to resolve something is to, but re often means like another time.
To redo, yeah. That's interesting. To do. We're not to do.
No time to do. Okay.
We'll explain more ways to make it easier.
Okay, yeah. I'll talk a little bit about like some more of the psychological science behind it. Again, I mean, psychology can get some flack because it's actually in some ways, it's not a harder science. It's a softer science, but in that sense, it makes it harder yeah, because you don't have these same like controllable variables that
you're
are
not like controlling
so...
particles in like quantum physics and being like, well, this is actually how it's like exploding.
Yeah, or
in
being
light.
Able to just like look at a chemical and understand what happens. Like, there's so many variables and confounding variables with humans.
And humans are so complicated. Yeah.
Okay, I have like five things that can help people in terms of like, keeping resolutions or making them stick, or just ways to think about if you have goals, I guess, is ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah.
How to stick to your goals. So the first one's kind of weird. But it was like, when you give advice to other people, it actually helps you more than if you get advice. So in these studies, they realized that people who got advice from experts on how to like stick to their resolutions, or in this case of the study, they were comparing it to like unemployed people who were told by experts how to get jobs, were not as successful at getting jobs as if an unemployed person gave their advice to other people.
Huh.
So if you're unemployed and you're like helping somebody else talk about like what's the best way to look for a job or get a job, it like reflects back onto you that advice, and then you're more likely, I think, to like instill that advice. So they were like, yeah, when whether you're talking about like a type of resolution, getting more fit, then maybe you might, if you're giving advice to other people, it's like helping you reinforce what you need to do in your own life.
Wow, that's a thing I learned in teacher's college. Like you actually, to learn something, you kind of have to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're a first year teacher, they're like, you should go out with your friends and try and teach them the lesson you're going to teach on the Monday, because that's the only way you're going to actually know how to like know it enough to teach kids. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, because you don't know things until you teach them. It's also a studying tool.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can tactic. Like study with friends and teach and try and them, teach like take them. Turns like explaining things.
Which I would do with my friends at university all the time because they weren't in science. They'd be like, can I just teach you this? And they'd always be like appreciative. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Makes you have to like really distill what the problem is for yourself.
So the resolution you want, learn how to
don't be
teach
afraid.
It,
I think a lot of people get really insecure about being like, well, I'm not good at that yet.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of friends, like I could talk to my friend about like my fitness journey, but I do often get insecure and be like, well, who am I to talk about what you should do? Because I like have never been into fitness. I don't know that much.
And yeah.
So recently I started
like teach you, these are the things I've learned.
Or even just being like, well, here's like talking about habits, about how to get like talking about putting a show on at the gym probably has reinforced my idea of like, oh, I need to do that more.
Yeah.
I really need to hook myself.
Putting a what on at the gym?
A show on at
oh,
the gym.
Oh, a TV show.
Gotcha. Right? And like yeah. recommending that to
you. You meant putting on a show like, look at me to lift that weight, boys.
Why did that? Is that song's just really popular? I immediately went to, hello, my baby. Hello, my, like, is that the
That's
universal?
That's because we spend all our time together.
No, I.
Mitch, it's because we spend all
no,
our time together.
No, 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 no.
It is. Because I do that, sing that song.
Listeners, viewers. Is this not like a universal putting on a show of someone's just, I think it is.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my baby. Hello, my ragtime girl. Like, I don't.
I think people do that when they're like throwing because it's like so. Okay. You don't think so?
I just think a lot of people. Okay. I
don't think so. Another little side note fact is Greg steals things from other people when he doesn't realize it sometimes.
What do you mean?
Like remember that? One time you were like, I invented that phrase. And I was like, I swear to God, my friend said that. Like, a long time ago, used to always
it was
say,
Eric, and I was like, I did invent it.
No,
what was it?
Both of them. It was so who do you like?
Yeah, okay. When there's Greg a didn't... pause, when there's a pause.
You did not.
Yes, I did, but there was I just started to do this. I remember doing it at camp when there was an awkward pause between a conversation with someone else. And it's awkward. You just go, so who do you like? And it's just like God. Funny. And then people will maybe tell
it,
you.
Though. Like it must have been from
I'm
a TV
just
show
saying,
or something.
Sometimes Eric might have done the same thing I did at the same time randomly.
God. Anyway, we'll revisit Continue. That. But we're okay. Another tip. This is a heavy side note episode. another tip. Numbers and specificity help. So like you said, just saying you're going to do something broadly, like I'm going to paint more, is one thing. But saying I'm going to paint at least once a week is like a way more specific thing with a number, at least two times a week.
So hard,
and so that's why, interestingly, one of the biggest pieces of evidence for this was a marketing tactic, which was walk 10,000 steps a day.
That was a marketing tactic?
And it's not based in like really science at all. It was just like a really easy number to remember.
Yes.
Obviously, like it's a good health
And it's like, gotta get my steps.
Getting you moving. And then and if you get 9,000 steps, you're probably like, well, I might as well just like go around the block a couple times and get my 10,000.
Fitbit life.
And so instead of saying, I'm going to walk more this year, it's like actually give it a description, more specific, and a number can help you to remember it, I think.
That's like... The resolutions I always am able to do is like start a podcast. The ones I can never do are those number ones. It's like only eat weed twice a week. And then it's like, that's the one to come Feb. I'm like, well, 3 days isn't a big deal. And then just, you know what I mean? Those are the hard ones for
but
me.
But that's harder when you're like trying to do less of something.
Resolve.
It's hard either way. So one study, other study they actually done this is 10 million marathon runners. So apparently it's very common for like they studied 10 million marathon runners.
Okay, wow.
And it's a really common thing to want to get under 4 hours in a marathon, I guess. Okay. Like that's a number that everyone wants to beat. And so way more people end up finishing 3 hours and 59 minutes than 4 hours and 1 minute. Because you have like a metric to base yourself by and you push yourself to
More people do 4 hours and one over 3 hours.
No. Opposite. You want less time in a marathon.
Oh, less. Okay, yeah.
Right? Sorry, like you want to like beat 4 hours.
I see.
So like
I was thinking of it, but the wrong way.
Yeah. Okay. 3:59 because they're like, oh, I want it to beat 4 hours.
I literally
push to
was
that
like,
number.
Mitch, I get what you're saying, but the people want the 401. The 401K. And you're just like, no, you're getting it. I'm like fully wrong. Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes total sense. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what does that have to do with resolutions?
Because you want to be specific and use numbers.
Oh, so the number.
And that it's like a very specific goal. If you say, I want to get good enough to get to the 4 hour marathon mark, then you're going to like actually know what your goal is.
Yeah.
And it's going to reinforce when you're practicing and you're like, I'm not there. I have to keep practicing. I have to keep training and all that.
Oh, that's
versus
so
just,
true.
I'm going to run more. I'm going to run a marathon. It might be harder to like,
I always end up running like 501K, like 601K.
Exactly.
I'm never like, because I'm always like, when I get to like five, close to the end. Like, well,
I'm
like,
not
going to
do 4.9.
Then when someone asks, I'm like, oh, 6K actually. Oh, how much?
You are the king of exaggeration.
So I was like, if I ran 6K, it means that day I actually only ran five.
Like, I actually sometimes,
you should take 25% off everything.
I do. Every number Greg gives me, I take 25% off.
For sure. Like, that is fully how you're going to get accurate information on me. Like, on everything. Buy a plant, it's $5.99. You're asking how much it was. I'm like, oh my God, weirdly, $4.99. Such a great price.
I know. And I'll be like, no, I actually just wanted the answer. Like, you don't need to, you always want to like impress with numbers. If you have science, I have a few more tips, but you could feel free to interject. We could like talk John something else for a minute.
No, keep going.
Okay. Next is something called the middle problem. So obviously when you start a resolution or any goal, you have a lot of motivation. Studies have even shown like when you're near the end of a goal, you can see it in sight. You have a lot of motivation. But the middle is obviously like a lull for most people. They've done studies where people literally cut corners, in that when they get them to cut shapes over and over on the first one, they're always really precise. And then as time goes on, when they're in the middle, they're actually like cutting it worse. And then near the end, they come
when they ask them to cut shapes. That's so interesting.
Like they cut a, I don't know if it was a circle or whatever.
See, that's when you're like, this science, this psychology science isn't hard because it's like such a leap, but it's still such an interesting thing humans do. And you can relate it.
They definitely designed that study. They're like, we really need to cut corners here. This is going to be so good if they cut corners.
New Scientist is gonna have the best headline, and we can link it to New Year's. They're gonna have so many clicks.
Square or octagon? Do you get it?
Okay.
So anyway,
the way you looked at me, do you get it?
I was like, is that a stupid joke? Okay, I'm not funny. Okay. So use frequent landmarks. Why my voice cracking? Use landmarks. Okay. We kind of touched on this in our last podcast, but having a landmarks gives you points of reentry to be feel like you're at the beginning again, to have that motivation from starting. Yeah. So a lot of people say like often make resolutions at the new year. So you might have a yearly financial goal. Why not have a monthly? Because then you check in every month. If you're trying to save a certain amount in a year, give yourself your monthly goal.
So that end of the month ends up feeling like the end of the year every month. And then you're doing more.
Any landmarks,
squares better.
Even birthdays are great landmarks or beginning of school, summer, seasons, like weeks, obviously, like anything that can repeat something can make you feel like you're at the beginning. Is that going to give you that beginning motivation push again? Because you're like, oh, okay, I fucked up the last one. The last week was a bit of a write-off. I can restart this week fresh. And that's, I think, how people feel at the beginning of a week.
But it's also so weird because we're just so freaking weird. Like, humans are such weird animals. And it's like, honestly, we're also just like, our brains have biases for the present, and it's really hard to work towards goals of the future because we're animals. But weirdly, we've built a society where you have to work towards goals in the future.
Yeah.
It's like, that's hard though, because I'm a freaking animal that just wants like what's right now.
It's which like is the chains of capitalism.
Yeah.
It like, is like weirdly, we're all told that but at the same time, you could argue, but like human greatness obviously comes from people like looking to the future.
Like vaccines.
What
those people were looking to the future.
What makes like humans pretty unique from other animals is that we like think about the future at all.
People who are really good at New Year's resolutions are pushing the world forward. That's for sure. They have tapped into how to not go into that primal Homo sapien brain of what's right now.
And we're like made the first vaccine was like I had resolutions.
Yeah, I got resolutions, and one of them was make a freaking vaccine, and I freaking did it. So check off on that one.
But I do go back and forth with being like, I don't want to over feel like the idea of having to accomplish and that your worth comes from your productivity is obviously like really toxic.
Which is so also one of the studies I found about why this is also toxic, and like is like so much of it is based in this like capitalist ideology that I totally fall into about productivity. It's like, why the fuck are all of my New Year's resolutions like write more, like make stuff, my money? But it's like, it should be like help others in need. Like,
who do you picture when you put that voice on?
I don't know. I don't know. At this moment, I was like, literally like Conan O'Brien, like, as you came to my mind. Like, so I was like, anyways. But seriously, it's like those. It's just an annoying voice. Sorry, Conan O'Brien. Like, why would my New Year's resolutions not be like volunteer? Like, they're always so.
I think some people's could be.
I know. And I think that, like, that's what I want. I wish my, like, I looked back on mine more. They were so just
easy, though, to make them self centered.
Yeah. So sorry, go. Like, don't you feel like a lot of people are, like, it's about themselves doing something that's like.
I mean, that's fair. I think obviously there's a point at which it's a new year for you and you are thinking about, like, how do I focus on myself? But it is interesting that, like,
we know to make yourself happy is to help others. 100%. Like, to focus on yourself, you actually have to focus on others.
That is really beautiful, Greg. You're pure soul. I know you
aren't. Wait, are you kidding? I'm literally talking about how I don't do that. I'm like, read 15 books and then make sure every chapter has a summary that you write the book and then you make a TikTok of it and then you make money off sponsor. Like, that's like what mine are. Mine, I'm trying to say, like, it's a weird, like, almost like moral thing that happens that I'm curious why we don't want to do more.
What is that gap? This is just going to be a little side note. What is that gap of knowing something is better for you but not doing it? So
that's
like
the New Year's resolution thing. It's easier to not give to others. It's easier to sit at home and fucking watch Instagram on your phone because of dopamine. It's like this very similar thing. It's like, how do you get past that part of your brain with the tips that you've even brought out to do things that require more time and goals in the future? It's just weird though, because as animals were designed, like you're almost competing against biology that's also been hijacked by megalomaniacs in Silicon Valley with your
But it's phone. Just interesting. Yeah, the phone's a whole other game. But I mean, like even exercise, like I think pretty unanimously, maybe not unanimously, but most people say after they exercise, they're really happy they did. They feel amazing. Like you'd think that evolutionarily that would be the desire then, if this thing makes me feel good. If even like playing music, I like to write music, but it's so hard for me to start doing it.
That's
but I do feel really good. Like why isn't that? I mean, actually, my next point is like actually part of that.
Okay, don't do that. Because I was
say what you're gonna say.
No, mine. No, go. Mine was literally just my opinion, which is like founded in nothing.
Well, okay. So I think a lot of this other tip is like fun seeking. Obviously, like enjoying something in the moment is so important. So I think with like music as an example, it's like, can you make it so you're not holding off on pleasure in the future? So if your goal is just about like feeling good at some point,
what
in
do you
the
mean
future,
music for example?
Oh, sorry, I didn't really explain that. But for me, it's like making sure that I, what are the things that I enjoy most about like making music?
Oh, you're talking so about you trying to make music as
yeah,
a resolution.
Sorry, I meant like for myself.
Okay,
like,
okay, no,
that's
sorry,
something I like want to do.
Yeah.
But it's like it's the same thing. People who listen to audiobooks at the gym are more likely to exercise more, like studies have shown. So it's like because they are enjoying the moment instead of people saying, I'm going to exercise because I'll feel good when I'm fit.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean? So
it's better to make the activity actually the fun.
Yeah, like how do you restructure the activity or the way you think about it or what you do in it so that it self is actually enjoyable.
Oh, that's
and that's like, you know,
to get dopamine.
Philosophers and yogis and stuff would say like meditation isn't supposed to be about making your future self better. Like it is the thing
moment.
In itself. Yeah. Like you enjoy this. It's not like so that you can be peaceful in the future. And
yeah, it's like you need to be enjoying the thing you're doing. Not like, I think for me, my issue with that is I'm like, I'm such a to-do list person and I do a lot of things in a day because I'm like psycho getting it done. And I'm actually anticipating the feeling of how good it is to get it done. Mm. It's like, no, you need to start being excited to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I have to make my to-do list, but not to-do, to enjoy list.
Yeah.
My to enjoy list. You will enjoy washing those dishes by listening to Demi Lovato.
Yeah, and then you'll be like, I love washing dishes.
And listening to Cool for the Summer. I can only listen to Cool for the Summer by Demi Lovato, which is a hilariously amazing song if I'm washing dishes. Then I'm like, I can't wait to wash my dishes because then I get to listen to Cool for the Summer.
Oh my God.
Go fuck your mother! That's the best thing.
But it makes sense. And I think that's what I get stuck on is that gap where I'm like, okay. Because the only resolution I made this year to myself was that I will prioritize making music more.
Oh, okay.
But that's still not that specific. I still am like workshopping it because I just saying more is like, well, what's more?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like, but you're like, but I can't do a number.
Because too much pressure.
Because that's too much pressure. But I could do a very manageable number. Like it's like you
exactly,
have to like
yeah
that's
you're
so
negotiating with yourself. But I have that gap of knowing I like making music. But then for some reason, I have a hard time doing it.
Yeah. I honestly, like last night, like I love to paint. Like it's actually psycho. Like any other activity, I'm like, oh my God, it's taking forever. I sometimes will start painting and I'll like scream. I'll like look at my phone. I'll be like, okay, I've probably been painting for 15 minutes. And I'll be like 2.5 hours later, I'll have like missed a meeting. Like I'll be like, oh my God, like. It's such a compelling, weird thing for my brain.
See the canvas as a stick figure.
I'm like, what do you think?
2.5
2.5 No, it's like the most, I don't know how to spray, like as an act, it's a very absurd thing to be doing, like painting a painting. It just does something really interesting with my brain that like speeds up time, which in a way that I'm like, I am obviously enjoying myself once I'm doing it. But it's like, literally I was sitting on the couch downstairs like staring at everything set up and was like, fuck that, like that stupid thing that I said I'd do at 8, now it's 8. Oh, I feel pain,
right,
stupid pain, like are you foot? And then I go in and I like pick up the brush and I'm just like,
like
have the best time. And then it ends and I'm like skipping around and I'm like, why the hell was that the hardest thing to do?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, no, it's so weird. Like it's just a mind thing that we can tell you all these studies about, but it is just like everyone has to figure this out for themselves. I
think
guess.
In especially with, you know, passions, I think there's a element of like guilt, and that it's not productive like to your life. Hmm. It's productive to you like as an individual, yeah. but it is like when you paint, you're not, it's not your career. It's probably easier for someone whose career it is to paint because they're like, well, I make money off this, so it's justified yeah. that it's like worth something.
So that's the thing. Our New Year's resolutions have to get away from this
yeah,
the psycho-economic idea of career thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the thing. I was thinking about how I wish more than me personally, but I assume other people, because you were also like, Greg, that's so sweet. But like made our New Year's resolutions more about helping and giving yeah. to other people. And so they said the tip for that, which is, this was interesting. It's like, you need to figure out someone who's going to hold you actually accountable for doing good to others.
Okay.
So they're like, that's like, yeah. this is a really weird yeah. study.
Again, it's like takes, hard. It's harder to like do it.
Yeah. Actually, I don't even want to explain how the study worked, because it's actually like, what? Like, can you say this? But it's still interesting to think about and use it if it works for you. Mm-hmm. If you have someone holding you accountable to do it and even inspiring you, doing it with you, volunteering, you and your friend go, we're going to do this year. Soup kitchen on Tuesdays, baby. Like, and then you're getting inspired by being there, seeing mm-hmm. them. That's great. But they said there's this weird other end where if you see that people are giving back too much around you, you start to go, oh, it's covered, no worries. And you don't do it. You Wait, don't help others because
you're like, oh, they've all got
yeah,
out.
Like they said that like they noticed, like it was a weird way they explained it, but they were almost like, they notice people who start to volunteer start to feel so good about how everyone around them's like got it covered, and then they tap out more easily by being like, but they've got it. Like, you have right. to figure out how to hold yourself accountable yes. while not realizing, like, getting too inspired by everyone, like, no, I don't even need me.
Like having a kind
and
of
then
kind of
being like, everything's good, I can go back to my life.
Rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, which I thought was really weird, but interesting if you're trying to make a New Year's resolution about helping other people.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's like, get there when you get there, okay? Like, I gotta get to the soup kitchen first. Yeah. Like, don't tell me, like, I think, like, just showing up is at yeah. least a very good way to start.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people push that off. Like, my parents were always really good at volunteering their whole lives, but now they're retired. Like, my dad volunteers a lot, and sometimes I'm like, oh, it's like, but I'll do it when I'm retired.
Right.
But that's but like,
why not? Yeah.
Like, my parents, they volunteered also that's when they true. Were,
and
had
it's
a family.
Like, yeah, why not? If you'll do it yeah. then, why not now?
Yeah. Maybe I would know what I shouldn't do. Film a stupid TikTok. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, actually, I don't have that hour free because I got to film a TikTok. It's like, yeah. the hell?
And it's actually not even filming them. It's actually watching them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're like, right. It's just sitting on my phone on my fucking
The amount
phone.
Of hours. Oh, it's just so sad.
And it all ends up back at TikTok. Just kidding. All right, that's all I had.
Yeah, okay, so...
I didn't do any this year. I think, you know, I'm obsessed with them. I've loved these New Year's in the pandemic. All the expectation, all the optimism bias is gone. Because know what I'm thinking? This New Year's is going to fucking suck. And I end up having so much fun with you. Do you know what I mean? It's like all the pressures from the past have been taken away because we've been literally locked down. But one thing this year is I was like, I'm not making any resolutions because I really want to have a better understanding of like where my life's going to be
yeah.
from a literal socio-political mm-hmm. like pandemic place that I was like,
just like
I don't
existential
know.
Existential place.
Yeah.
Too.
I was like, I don't think I have it in me. Also, I could, if I know, I think I just need to buy some more time to understand where things are at with this pandemic. Fascinating things. We have a new video coming out all about what's going on. If you want to know, very interested, find it fascinating. I'm going to wait until I have more understand what I even could do, because it's like, some of it might involve actually like being around people. You know what I mean? Actually, yeah. most of them do.
Or so, not at all.
Yeah. Or yeah. So I haven't made any this year. So it kind of was like a boring answer to like, because I would have read you them or something, but I didn't.
If you it. Had to make one now, what would it be?
Well, I would want to say like, oh, fuck. It's so crazy because it literally is like, it's like, I was like, I want to say volunteering every Tuesday. But then I did this crazy thing where I was like, but it's a pandemic, so can't do that. It's like, no, actually, people do. It's like wearing a mask and helping people.
Yeah,
it's like,
called, actually, they're called frontline workers.
Like, it's probably like the best time to be doing that. And like, yeah, it's called being a frontline worker. I'm like, I'm helping by not leaving my house. Don't want to make sure I give it to anyone. But then I immediately went to like productivity and was like panicked and started to think. The one thing I've been doing is read 15 books a year. And that's been good. That's a good
great.
Number.
Yeah, it's great.
And so I was like, obviously that one again. I was like, maybe up to 17 because I've been like upping. Okay. That's an easy one. But then
more is better, right?
But like then, and I probably would have panicked and read way more this week. But no, I haven't made them. I don't know. It's a hard thing for me. It means too much that I'm panicking. I haven't made them.
I think that happens to a lot of people. And I think that's a really nice thing to remember is that we're in a pandemic and like it's totally okay if you don't have resolutions right now because everything is really is uncertain and unstable.
Not the time for me to resolve anything. I'm like, honey, just get through it.
Yeah. Just live. And it has taught us you just have to live it instead of thinking about the future all the time.
Just gotta live it. Know what you shouldn't think about right now? The future. I'm kidding. You should think about the future. Actually, no, you shouldn't. Okay.
Should anyway. Okay, yeah. No, but on that
that's
note,
literally what our video on ASAP Science is coming out about, so go watch it. About the future of this pandemic.
Yeah, I guess by the time this comes out, it might be out. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
At some point.
Oh my god, it's giving us anxiety. But anyway.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And know what I wish could start playing right now, but copyright is Mariah Carey remix of Auld Lang Syne. One of the best New Year songs of all time. It's like
save it for 2023.
So sick.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.